Coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
Narcissists justify their behavior in a few key ways so that they can sleep soundly at night. They convince themselves that the pain that they inflict, it doesn't have personal consequences. But they do that in a number of different ways. So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life. Welcome to today's podcast. This is Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung, and thanks so much for joining me. Today's topic is going to be, how do narcissists sleep at night? And I know people just say that all the time. How do they sleep at night? How do they get away with this? How do they even think that they, can do this to another person? I know that I was dealing with some of that when I was dealing with my own narcissist, and those of you who know me know that, yeah, I'm a lawyer and I'm a litigator and I've done a lot of things as far as the litigation world, but I also have had to deal with a couple of narcissists in my own life. And, you know, a lot of people wonder, how would that happen to you? You know, you've achieved so much. And you know, to that, what I say is that, you know, you just are a different person when you're negotiating and advocating for somebody than you are when you're dealing with people in your own life, in your personal life. And the couple of narcissists that I had to deal with, one of whom was a family member, an extended family member, not in my immediate family. And then the other one that I had to deal with was in a business setting. And I don't say who they were, not because I'm trying to protect them, because believe me, I don't say who they are because I don't want them coming back into my world. I don't want them to have anything to come back at me for or about. I am working really hard at maintaining my no contact and taking my own advice about going no contact and creating super strong boundaries and doing all the things that you need to do to escape and preserve your sanity. So, you know, narcissists justify their behavior in a few key ways so that they can sleep soundly at night. They convince themselves that the pain that they inflict, it doesn't have personal consequences. But they do that in a number of different ways. And, you know, It can be very, very confusing. I know that I dealt with that. And I'm not 100% sure if they truly believe their lies and that's how they do that, or if they know that they are actually convincing, you know, people of lies. You know, it's kind of a fine line, and it really doesn't necessarily matter, because when you are dealing with a narcissist, as people know, and if you haven't listened to my YouTube videos, I highly recommend that you go check out my YouTube channel and listen to these other podcasts and subscribe to me here and subscribe to my podcast or my YouTube channel. Because I talk a lot about this stuff. And my goal in doing all of this is helping you successfully navigate and negotiate your way out of these situations so that you don't have to continue to live the way you've been living, because you sure as heck don't. Ain't nobody got time for that. Life is way too short. And you can shift that dynamic. You can turn it around. And that's what I help you do. I'm the only lawyer that I know of that actually gives you step-by-step guidance on exactly what to do to get out of these relationships. 99.9% of lawyers don't understand it. Most people don't even understand what's going on. Narcissism is a pandemic. I've been saying that for a long time now. They estimate that 6% of the population either are narcissists or have narcissistic tendencies. And another 3.3% of the population has other issues that don't necessarily show up as narcissism, but they show up as having no conscience, or they're sociopaths or psychopaths or something, where they actually have no ability to feel anything for other people. And so your experience in interacting with these people is just absolutely awful. And the gaslighting and the manipulation and the constant games and the passive-aggressive behavior is just so, so hard to deal with. I mean, I know that's, especially if you're dealing with a covert narcissist, the couple of narcissists that I had to deal with were both covert narcissists. And so I saw a lot of that passive aggressive behavior. And it can be really, really confusing, because you know in your gut that something is wrong. You know that this person is not for you. You can feel that there's something about them that's not for you, that they don't entirely have your back. Or there's some little hair on the back of your neck that's saying, I can't trust this person. And you're not really sure why. And then you go and you see little things happening, but they're just small enough that you think, well, maybe I'm overreacting. And then they always have an explanation for it. You know, it was inadvertent. They didn't mean to. Or it was you. You're overreacting. You're seeing things wrong. It was somebody else's fault. Something else happened. You know, there's that deny, deflect kind of thing that's always going on. And so you start to question your own sanity. And to your face, they're often very nice. I mean, you know, they've got that love bombing thing going on, where they'll say nice things to you every once in a while, like, oh, you're so amazing at that, or you're so beautiful, or you're so good looking, or whatever it is. And you think, well, gosh, I mean, it's very confusing, you know, because they're nice to your face, and then these little things come out that seem to be against you, and then they always have an explanation for it. Or they just don't want to talk about it at all. And a lot of times, you know, they're so manipulative and so charming and so charismatic that the rest of the world just thinks that they're wonderful. So you just think that maybe it's you, and that's what they want you to think. They want you to think that it's you. They want you to think that you're the one that has the problem. So and remember that even people who seem to be narcissistic, just because they go and tell everybody how great they are all the time, may not be narcissists, because they have to have that key element of the absolute inability to feel any empathy or care for anyone else. And so even if a narcissist logically knows that their behaviors are wrong or abnormal, and they kind of know that they are, they don't have any conscience about it, that's for sure. And they uphold ideas and themselves in the world so that everybody believes that they are superior or wonderful or confident. And and it's all to slap a veneer coating on a fragile sense of self. They don't have any self-esteem, and coupled with they can't have any ability, they don't have any ability to feel anything for anybody else. And so they convince themselves in order to sleep at night that they have to do what they have to do because it's a dog-eat-dog world. And if they don't do these things, then somehow they won't be seen. They'll have no sense of value. And so they attach themselves, by the way, they attach themselves to people who can be great sources of supply for them. So they love attaching themselves to people who are strong or smart or admired or respected or good looking or have prestige. They don't attach themselves to you because you have no value, which is what they want to try to convince you of once you're in the relationship with them. They attach themselves to you because you have so much value. So that's the one thing that you really need to understand and really need to remember is that they convince themselves that they're doing these things because, you know, you have so much value and they need to take that from you. I mean, that, you know, who are you to have it? So number one is they believe that they're always right. So remember that narcissists lack an inner sense of value. And although it's usually hidden from the outside world, they actually have the most fragile and sensitive ego. So an admission of guilt or admission that they're wrong in some way means that they have to kind of give away a part of themselves. I mean, they're like, you know, that scarcity mentality versus the abundance mentality. I mean, they're like scarcity mentality on steroids. So anything that they give up means that, you know, they're not going to have in some way. So they feel like if they admit that they're wrong, that they're giving away that small part of themselves, that and that little bit of falsified self-esteem that they have mustered. So it's a means of survival, and they feel like to survive, they cannot and will not admit to themselves nor to others that they are wrong. No matter how many mistakes they may have made, no matter how much clear evidence there may be, they will refuse to look at the truth if it means bruising their already incredible sensitive egos. I say that it's sort of like that with the Wizard of Oz. You know, the Wizard of Oz had that huge, he had built Oz and it was Emerald City and it was glowing and it was gorgeous and beautiful. And you get there and there's this powerful voice and this huge, intimidating character. And then behind the curtain was this feeble, little, weak old man who had just slapped all this around him to make himself look powerful, but he really wasn't powerful at all. And that's what it's like when you're dealing with a narcissist.
Coming up, more on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zahn.
It was always someone else, something else, some other situation that caused the problem. It was never her. And so that's how she was able to sleep at night, because it was always someone or something else's problem. imagine it's the year 2014. You're a successful young swimsuit model who jet sets to exotic locations. On the outside, everything seems fine, but coworkers start to notice the consistent smell of vodka on your breath. Your drinking and cocaine use has escalated over the past few years, culminating in a near-fatal car accident driving the streets of Miami. It didn't used to be this way. This is the story of Lyra, and she tells it on the powerful new podcast, Keep Coming Back, Real Stories of Sobriety and Recovery. Each week, host Mike S. interviews and unravels true stories of people who fell down and who've managed to get back up again. Subscribe and listen to Keep Coming Back, Real Stories of Sobriety and Recovery. A link will be provided in today's show notes. Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can listen to more episodes that show you the path to how to negotiate your best life.
And I think that at an early age, I did develop a lot of shame. And part of it was you know, organically, I think, a response to actual experiences. I did. I just got bullied a lot. I don't, you know, I've kind of stopped trying to figure out, well, what made me a target? Because it really doesn't matter. Because the reality is bullying is about the bully. It's not about you.
And now we return to today's show.
And so number two is they believe that you or someone else is always wrong. So kind of similar to the I'm always right, it's actually much deeper. They really convince themselves that because they're always right, they can place the blame on you or somebody else. And they don't take responsibility for their behaviors. I once had an employee who, you know, even if she would never get her work done on time and just completely go missing when it came to coming up with getting what she was supposed to get done, totally missing deadlines, totally not calling people back and doing all the things that she was supposed to do. And when me and my other partners would question her about it, it was always some other reason. It was something going on in her life. You know, she had more family members die in a period of time than people, you know, have seen die in their entire lifetimes. You know, it was somebody had cancer, somebody died, somebody was sick. So you were supposed to forget about the fact that she hadn't done her work and hadn't done the things that she was supposed to do, because you were supposed to just feel sorry for the fact that she was dealing with all of these things. And, you know, so it was somebody else's fault, something else's fault, or maybe it was some other paralegal hadn't done their part. Somebody hadn't given her the information. The client hadn't sent in the information, all of those different kinds of things. So it was always someone else, something else, some other situation that caused the problem. It was never her. And so that's how she was able to sleep at night, because it was always someone or something else's problem. So the next one is that they believe that they are always above the rules and the laws. And, you know, narcissists believe that the rules and laws don't apply to them. They shouldn't apply to them. And they do this, again, as a means of survival. So narcissists are like rats in a maze. They're like, where's the cheese? That's where I have to go. And the cheese to them is narcissistic supply. And narcissistic supply is anything that feeds a narcissist's ego. So It can be things that would feed anybody's ego, like compliments or telling somebody that they're wonderful or tons of respect or acknowledgement, things like that. Obviously, we all want to feel seen, heard, and know that we matter. So narcissism is on a continuum. I mean, in a way, we all have narcissistic traits sometimes. I mean, or what could be viewed as a narcissistic trait. But what you're dealing with when you're dealing with a true narcissist is somebody who's all the way at the end of the continuum, all the way at the end of the spectrum. And these people attach themselves to people to suck supply out of them. And how they end up doing that is also devaluing them and demoralizing them and debasing them and denying what they say they do or what they did. So they believe that they are above the rules and the laws. They acknowledge rules and laws, but they believe that they're for others who are lesser than they are or who are just ordinary, and they don't want to be viewed as ordinary. Narcissists have convinced themselves that they are unique and better than those around them. And it's really a lie that they tell themselves. I mean, they kind of know that they have no sense of inner self or no sense of self-esteem. So they want the world to believe that they are extraordinary, that they're special, and that they're unique and better than those around them. And this belief is reflected in their ability to cross boundaries, break rules, and even social norms and all of these things without guilt, without remorse, without shame. And you know, one of the particular narcissists that I had to deal with was a family member, and that particular family member would constantly break boundaries by coming into our home and even going through our things or walking into our office. You know, my husband and I were both law partners, and this person would just walk in, even walk into our past our receptionist and just walk right in, even if we were on the phone with clients. You know, my husband and I are both lawyers. You know, it's not the kind of place where you can just walk in. I mean, there's sensitive information, there's confidential information, privileged information all around. It's not, you know, no matter who you are, no matter how close you are to a person, you can't just walk into a doctor's office. You can't just walk into a lawyer's office or anybody who has a career where you're dealing with people's personal lives and sensitive information. It's not a place where you should be feeling entitled to walk in and just do whatever it is that you want to do. But this particular person felt entitled to be able to do that. And that's a real indication of narcissism. And, you know, again, they feel like they can break rules, break boundaries, break laws. I see it in divorce cases. They constantly break court orders, they ignore court orders, and people are going, how are they getting away with that? You know, and you know, the reason why they get away with that is just because they do it. And then, you know, the only way that you can, you know, call them out on it is by filing a motion for contempt and then setting it for hearing and making the judge call them out on it, because the only person that has any power over anyone else is the judge. So, you know, you got to get the judge's attention. How do you do that? You file motions, you file something so that you can get a hearing in front of the judge. That's the only way. So that's another way that they sleep at night. And another way that they sleep at night is they move on, or they just want you to forget about their behavior. So They want you to place little value on the consequences of their behavior, so they don't want you to bring it up again. And if you do, they'll just, you know, either deny that it happened, or they just want to deflect and they'll say, oh, let's just forget about that. Let's just move on. Why are you bringing up the past? You know, let's just go from here forward or something like that. And they don't want to face people's emotions or the consequences of their behaviors. So if there's any kind of a conflict where their behavior is being exposed, then they'll do whatever they need to move on, or to convince you to move on, so that they can continue with their distorted perspective of themselves or the world. Accepting blame will make them have to be exposed in some way. And again, they're protecting that little sense of self. So they'll crush you or anything in their path, or do whatever they need to in order to survive. And it's best for everyone's peace of mind, in their mind, to just, hey, move on, forget about it, forget what I've done to you, forget what happened. So those are some of the ways that narcissists sleep at night. They just don't want to face their behaviors. It's like control alt delete, you know, move on. And so for you, I would highly suggest that is what you do need to do, is move on from them. And, you know, remember that narcissists always get the worst right before they're ready to give up. They put on a big, huge stink. And so when you're in that devalue phase of the relationship, you will see the birth of the smear campaign. You'll see all of the things that they will start to do. They get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse before they get better. They try to line up their flying monkeys. They try to make you look bad. They'll lie. They'll file false pleadings. They'll tell people lies about you, what you did, what you didn't do. And because they want everybody to believe that they're wonderful and you were the bad person. Otherwise, why wouldn't you still be in a relationship with them? I mean, even if they are discarding, they get supply from jerking you around, jerking you through the court system, and seeing you squirm and seeing you be intimidated and seeing you be afraid. So when you're wondering, hey, how come this case isn't getting settled? How come, like, okay, that's it, uncle. I just want to be done with this thing. How do I get out of this thing? What is it that you want? Just tell me and I'll give it to you. Well, they don't necessarily want what you think. It's because they don't want to resolve the case. What they want is to continue to get supply from you. So if there's any supply to be had, they'll continue to try to get it from you. So if you are getting ready to negotiate with a narcissist, make sure to grab my free Crush My Negotiation prep worksheet at winmynegotiation.com. I've had thousands and thousands of people download it, use it, negotiate with it, win mediations with it, win cases with it, win negotiations in general with it. So make sure to grab that. And if you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel, you should do that now. And also subscribe here. And, you know, if you like this podcast, I would love if you would rate it, review it, you know, leave me a message that you enjoyed it, that it's helping you, because it will help the rest of the world too if you let them know. And also share it if you think that it would be helpful for other people. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung, and I will catch you in the next episode, or on YouTube, or on Instagram, or Facebook. And remember, today is a great day to start negotiating your best life. Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.